to gather like this in your presence, firstly to praise you, exalt you, and to lift up your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us first. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the eternity that we're going to spend in your presence. So much to be grateful for this morning, Lord. And we just say thank you. And we say, Holy Spirit, just have your way in our midst. But may all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you, Lord. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sure. Nearly the end of the year. Not long to go. In fact, folks, today's message is a message that I would normally share right at the end of the year. But next week, we're going to be having our Christmas kind of get-together. And so be here early, be here at 9 o'clock. We're just going to have a time of fellowship, and then I'm going to share a Christmas message. But today's message, I want to give us the title, is 10 New Year's or New Year Resolutions for 2026. 10 New Year Resolutions for 2026. Now, we're reaching that time of year again, where we start to make promises to ourselves. Isn't that true? Isn't that what a New Year's resolution is? We start to promise ourselves something. So, you know, we promise ourselves those things that we are now going to do in the new year. And it seems like we make those promises to ourselves, and then normally before the end of January, we kind of done and dusted. We actually just kind of move on and we forget about them and we move on. Let's be honest about that. Is that true? Okay. How many of us actually break that diet? Normally we start off with a diet, right? You know, next year, starting the 1st of January, I'm going to go on diet. And we come up with this beautiful diet. And before the end of January, we're no longer on that diet. Yeah, there we go. And how many of us also, another one that we do is like we get committed. We say, well, next year, right, I'm going to go to gym. And I'm going to go to gym. I'm going to go 3 times a week. Huh? 3 times a week. And man, I'm going to get this chassis into shape. You know, this one pack is going to become a 6-pack and rah, 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 rah. But by halfway through February, it's done and dusted. Is that true? How many of us, even here today, decided at the beginning of this year, well, I'm going to read the Bible. You know, one of those reading programs. And I'm going to read the Bible in a year. And we kicked off, and maybe you're sitting here today, well, okay, I'll do it next year. Maybe that's you. Folks, I want to give us maybe just 2 New Year's resolutions that I think are probably quite easy for us to achieve. The first one is eat more. Eat more, okay? And the second one is don't exercise. How many of you can do that? Oh, let's go for this one, all right? That's a cool New Year's resolution, eh? Because that would be so easy for us to keep. But really, this morning, I want to talk about some resolutions that if we apply into our own lives, they will make a radical, radical difference to us, a huge difference to our lives. If we make a decision to embrace them and make sure that we follow through for the period of, you know, 2026 as we go into this new year. So there it is, 10 New Year resolutions for 2026. And so these New Year's resolutions are given to us by somebody who we see in the Word of God. Well, let's talk about the Old Testament. That was the wisest man that was ever put on this planet, right? Other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody had wisdom like, do you know who he is? Solomon. All right, so we're going to have a look and see what Solomon has to say about some maybe good New Year's resolutions. Do you know it's in the Bible, right? What we're going to be talking about here today. So let's have a look and see. So I'm just going to be focusing on Proverbs chapter 3, so you're not even going to have any scriptures on the overhead projector this morning, right? We just focus. We're all going to be there. I know you all got your Bibles. I can hear them rattling as you're opening them to Proverbs chapter 3. Folks, New Year's resolutions. Do you know that they normally fall into three categories? The first category is things that make us look better and live longer. How many of you want to look better and live longer? Some of us. Okay, that's cool. That's the first category. The next category is things that make us have more. And then the third category are things that will help us to kind of get along with people. And some people will call these, you know, these three, it's longevity and it's prosperity and it's peace. Some of us will call it health, wealth, and happiness. You can call it whatever you want. But do you know, I'm saying it again, do you know that this is in the Word of God that I'm going to be sharing here today? So I'm going to be reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 3, and I can hear those Bibles rustling again, right? Starting from verse 1, it says, my son, and I've got good news for you ladies, that you are included in this. My son and my daughters, who's speaking here? Don't forget my teachings. This is the Lord speaking to us. Don't forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. So right there we can see, first of all, the Lord speaking. He's telling us about his word, about us taking his word seriously and us making sure that we respond to the instructions and the commandments that he actually gives us. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. In other words, what he's saying here in these first two verses, if we keep God's commandments, we'll experience long life. And not only will we experience long life, but the life that we lead will be a life that is joyful and a life that is good and a life that is full of peace. Huh? Verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them to your neck, around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So this thing of steadfast love and faithfulness, obviously it's very, very important. God says, tie them around your neck. Make sure that, you know, that these things are in our heart. Then he tells us why in the very next verse. In verse 4 it says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. That's incredible, folks, right? It's interesting that when we apply God's principles, it's not just God's favor that is poured out upon us, but it is the favor of man that is poured out upon us as well. Why? Because God is speaking to those peoples. Isn't that right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, I'm emphasizing all because so often, you know, we read that and we all know that portion of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It is with all, folks. If it is with all of our heart, you know how much is left over? Nothing. So he's saying to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And I need to say, for you and I to be able to trust in the Lord with all our heart, you know that takes faith. So we need to be men and women of faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God. So we need to be those who are diligent to get into the Word of God so that we, you know, we can walk in this faith that He expects of us. Verse 6, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. Now it's very interesting. Now He actually gives us pointers for good health. And all of us want good health. Is that right? He says, the first pointer is, do not be wise in your own eyes. We'll talk about these things. I'm going to unpack them a little bit more. The next pointer he gives us is, also, not only do not be, that we must not be wise in our own eyes, but we must fear the Lord. And I said last week, you remember when we spoke about this? That is having a reverential fear of God. That is not us cowering and just being intimidated and so scared of God to come into His presence. That is you and I holding God in high esteem. So the next one is fear the Lord. And then it says, the third one is turn away from evil. Turn away from it. Evil is going to be around that. We have an enemy out there who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he will do his utmost to try to bring things across our paths that he wants to entice us. Is that right? And folks, we need to be mindful of this. And what the Word of God is saying is that we must stay away, turn away from evil. He tells us why. If we do those things, verse 8 says, if we do these things, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now he gives us some pointers on prosperity. How many of us want to be prosperous? I see two hands. Hey man, I tell you, that means that over the years, we have been preaching the word because we are all so prosperous in this church that we have so much and we have the abundance, so much abundance that we're able to bless others with it. Is that right? So maybe I should ask that. Who wants to be prosperous? Okay, maybe a few more people. Okay, for those 70% of us that want to be prosperous, he now tells us how to do it. He says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then, when we are obedient there, then your barns will be filled with plenty. In other words, your cupboards will be filled with plenty. Your banking account will be filled with plenty. Whatever it is, they're going to be filled with plenty. And it says, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Folks, what's important, this shows here, I'm losing my thought here. Okay, I'll speak more about that now. Now, as we go into the next verse, he actually shows us some of the ways that the Lord actually reveals his love to us. Do you know that you're loved by the Lord? Okay, he says, my son and my daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do you know that God will discipline us? And we should, what he's saying is, do not despise it. In other words, if we are in a place where we need discipline, we need to embrace the discipline from God. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves. Right? So God's going to discipline us. God is going to correct those of us who he loves. And it goes on to say, as a father, the son in whom he delights. Don't we discipline our children? The reason why we do it is because we love them. Is that true? Verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Now, how many of us remember that I spoke about this last week? Remember I said that so often you see that wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. And last week I spent quite a lot of time speaking about how we get this wisdom and how we also receive this understanding. And I can't do that again. So if you want to know how to get these two, please listen to last week's message again. All right. But he says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, this is wisdom and understanding, is better than the gain from silver. And her profit is better than gold. He says, she, talking about wisdom and understanding, is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. There's nothing, folks, that is more important for you and I, or that we should desire more, than the thing of having wisdom and understanding. Goes on to say, verse 16, long life is in her, if we have this wisdom and understanding. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So not only, you know, is the Lord's favor upon us, but again, that thing of walking out our lives where we're experiencing that peace that surpasses all understanding. She, talking about wisdom and understanding, is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding, there it is again, wisdom and understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped their dew. Now he says, my son, do not lose sight of these. And folks, when the Lord says to us, do not, that is not a suggestion. Right? It really isn't a suggestion. This is God speaking to us today, and he is instructing us, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they, wisdom and discretion and understanding, will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. So in other words, if we embrace wisdom and understanding, these things are for us. They, the next verse says, they, doesn't, it says then. It says then, not they. Then. So if we embrace wisdom and understanding, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Now, folks, it's very interesting. Now he gives us what I suppose you can call the do nots. These are the things that we shouldn't be doing. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not, there it is again, withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go, go, and come again tomorrow. I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. And then he says, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Amen. Folks, there is so much in this portion of Scripture, and I'm going to just kind of unpack a little bit of it here this morning. But he starts off with a very matter-of-fact statement right in the beginning. Verse 1, he says, my son, daughter, do not forget my teaching. First thing, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So really, if you want long life, and not only a long life, a good life, a life where you experience that incredible peace of the Lord, basically what he's saying to us right here is that we need to keep his instructions. We need to keep these commandments. So that's his introduction. And then he continues and basically gives us 10 principles that we should live by in order that we have this health, wealth, and happiness, or however you want to interpret that. And you know, we read these things and sometimes they look so simple as we're reading them. But let me say, it's not always simple, you know, to take these things and actually put them into practice. How many of you have noticed that? That the word is easier, the word is very clear. But sometimes to take those things and actually apply them in our own lives is not that easy as well. So basically what we should be doing is adopting these principles and live each and every single one of these out in 2026. Okay? Because if we do, folks, I'm telling you, it's going to change our lives. It will change your life totally. Okay. So maybe, you know, the starting point is, as I haven't started yet. I'm now going to talk about New Year's resolution number one for 2026. But I think before I even start, maybe you should, and we all should be, maybe just processing, you know, I'm going to apply these things in 2026. And then you can go and listen to this message over and over again if you're not making notes. But it's all about making decision. Our walk with the Lord is about making a decision. Isn't that right? Doing those things he tells us to do is about making a decision. We're involved. He's showing us what we need to be doing, but it's up to us to actually embrace that and actually apply his principles. So are we ready now? Can we start? That was my introduction. Resolution number one. New Year's resolution number one for 2026. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then he tells us why. So that you will find favor and good success. And we all want favor from the Lord. And we want good success from the Lord and people. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Isn't that amazing? Huh? So folks, let these two qualities, love and faithfulness, be guiding lights for us as we enter into 2026. In fact, in everything that we actually do. Now, love, I mean, we talk about love, you know, I suppose, how do you define God? The best definition in the Bible on how to define God would be that God is love. Is that true? God is love. So let's do our best as we step into 1st of January 2026 to allow ourselves or to, how can I say, to encourage ourselves to become more and more and more like Jesus. Is that good? It really is. I was thinking about this, you know, as I was preparing. How many of you remember those little WWJD bracelets? Huh? I don't know, maybe they're out of fashion. Maybe, you know, some things come back into fashion. Huh? Right. But people used to walk around with a WWJD a little band. What would Jesus do? And maybe what we need to be doing when we find ourselves in situations, you know, or we've got decisions to make. What would Jesus do in that situation? Because I can tell you right now, you know, we have a flesh that wants to go in this direction, and yet the Word of God is telling us to go in that direction. And we need to put down the flesh, folks, and do what the Lord wants us to do. What would Jesus do? And then also, it talks about faithfulness. Now, I just looked up the word faithfulness. You know what it means? It means to be consistent. That's what it means to be loyal. It means to be reliable. So we need to be consistent and loyal and reliable, not only to God, but to people as well. Amen? Is that good? We need to be doing that. So there we have it. That's New Year's resolution number one for 2026. Tell the person next to you, I've got it. New Year's resolution number two. Trust the Lord with all your heart. This is verses 5 and 6. Now that word trust means having a confident expectation. We need to trust the Lord so much that we have a confident expectation that He will do what He says He will do if we apply His principles. Isn't that true? So trust with all your heart, in the Lord, with all your heart. And then it says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Why that portion of Scripture is there is because so often we tend to lean on our own understanding. Is that right? You know, I think. No, it's not what I think. It's what, Lord, what are you saying? But so often it's I think. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not, there's an instruction, lean on your own understanding. In all your ways. How much is all? Everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, what we do, folks, we recognize God and we recognize His authority over us. Right? In all your ways. And He, God, will make straight your path. In other words, what He's going to do then, He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to show you which way to go, whether we should go left or right. Okay? His hand is upon us so that His plans and His purposes will unravel in our lives when we apply His principles. And what's interesting, what I've just shared here so far, these first two New Year's kind of resolutions for 2026, are the foundations for the balance of the eight that I'm going to speak about right now. So let love and faithfulness never leave you. That's the one. And trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a second one. So now we can, on top of those two, we build and we add on the other eight. What number is the next one? New Year's resolution number 3. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now, this is verse 7 and 8. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So often, folks, you know, when we start to see ourselves as wise in our own eyes, there's a certain amount of pride that has risen up on the inside of us. And we need to be able to identify that. So this turning away, you know, well, first of all, us not being wise in our own eyes and, you know, to fear the Lord is basically a choice. We've got a choice to make there because we can choose not to turn away or we choose to turn away. It's up to us. It's as simple as that. Because the next verse says, when we do it His way, it will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So if you want to be healed and you want to be refreshed, firstly, we need to have that reverential fear of God. And like I said, this is not us just being scared of God. This is holding God in such high esteem. Okay? And also that we have to turn away from those things that are evil in His sight. If it's evil in His sight, it might not be even evil in our sight, but we know what's evil in the sight of the Lord. And He says to us, turn away from it. What's the next one? Resolution number 4. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, this is verse 9 and 10. Let me read it. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Now, in those days, obviously, they're talking about farmers, whatever it might be. But it is the first fruits. In other words, on your list of things to do or things to pay. Folks, let's just do it His way. Number one on that list needs to be honoring the Lord with the first fruits. Not where we go through and we pay all whatever we need to pay during the course of the month, you know, and see what's left over. Okay, I think I'll lob that up to the Lord. I'm just saying, let's apply His principles to this thing. The first fruits of all your produce. It doesn't say a portion of it. Now, you know, people say, yeah, okay, well, I get a salary. But, you know, you might get a medical aid that your company contributes to. You might get a provident fund. You might get a car allowance. You might get a wow, wow, wow. This thing goes on and on. And I don't want to lay a number on anybody, but I'm just saying, folks, if you're going to do it, let's just do it properly. Is that fair? Let's just do it properly. Otherwise, I don't know. Okay. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. And then it says, then, when we do that, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, that is the outworking of us being obedient with our finances. And obviously, this starts with tithing. And even tithing, you know, people say, well, I'm going to pay my tithe. I really believe that you can't pay your tithe because that tithe, according to Scripture, never belonged to you. Is that right? We return our tithe to the Lord because it's His. So it's not even our language. Let's watch, you know, how we actually do this. But we return our tithe. And folks, this is quite interesting because when you do a study on this, and man, I've done study because it took a long time for me to, yeah, my wife's laughing here. I thought, you know, these Yeah. Don't touch the money. you can do, and that's where I was. You know, I was really keen on getting into, you know, walking this walk with the Lord. But in those early days, I remember saying, don't touch the money in my heart. Anyway, I've learned. But it's quite interesting because when you do a study on this, it ties in with what we would call seed time and harvest. Right? God's principles. In other words, you go and you take let's just take one millipip, and you go and plant that millipip, and you make sure it goes into proper good soil, right? No good tithing or putting your money into a place where you just know that it's not good soil. So if you put it in good soil and then you water it, what will happen, you don't have to go and dig, you know, like every week, dig a hole to see what's happening. Is that right? You just do it. You just do what the Lord, you know, just water it. You'll see a little shoot come through, come up, and eventually there will be a milli, what do you call it? Stalk. And on that stalk will be lots of millies. Now, you've planted one pip, but that thing will produce, I mean, if you had to go and take all the pips off a milli, I mean, I don't know, you might have thousands. I don't know. All I'm saying is God's principles when it comes to finances is about seed time and harvest. And I need to say as well that this, what it's talking about here, is talking specifically about material prosperity. So, you know, and so often, and I mean, I've seen it, and maybe you've seen it as well, you find that people's commitment to actually giving to the Lord or returning the tithe is a thermometer that shows their spiritual temperature. I'm just saying that really, you know, I don't think a person can say, yo, I'm really on fire for the Lord and I just love the Lord and we go out there, but we're not committed, you know, to financing the gospel and we're not committed to making sure that, you know, the kingdom is going to be extended. So I don't know how we do that. These are the things that we have to work out in our own lives and so on. So we need to be committed to the extension of His kingdom. Amen. Can I move on to resolution 5 now? And everybody was saying, whew, I'm pleased you got over that one. Okay. It's funny, we don't, yeah. Don't let your returning, you know, your tithe or your not doing it be the thermometer of your spiritual or your spiritual temperature. Okay, resolution number 5. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Don't despise it, folks. Verse 11 and 12. My son, my daughter, do not, there it again, it is an instruction, despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of His reproof. And that word reproof actually means correction. It says, for the Lord reproves or the Lord corrects him whom He loves. And it goes on to say, as a father, the son in whom He delights. So as we, how can I say, discipline, and as we correct our children that we love, we need to know that the Lord will be doing exactly the same for us, continually doing the same for us. So we need to take delight, actually, in God's discipline and welcome it. Welcome the discipline when it comes. Amen. Because He will be disciplining us. So, and also know that when the Lord is disciplining you, and He does for all of us, just know that it's a demonstration of His love. Okay? Maybe tell the person next to you that. God disciplining me is a demonstration of His love. It really is. And also, folks, we need to, just as I said that, we need to be careful that, you know, that it is the Lord and not the devil throwing you a curveball. Is that true? Very important as well. Good. So He loves you. So we're going to be disciplined by Him. Preparing us. That discipline is preparing us for the eternity that we're going to be moving into one day. Resolution number 6. Are we doing okay? Or should we make it a 2-part series? All right. Number 6. Search diligently for wisdom and understanding. And not only search for it, folks, we need to search for it and find it. Again, I spoke a lot about that last week on how to, you know, to get those. But it talks about it here in verses 13 right through to 24. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. The person who finds wisdom is blessed. And the one who gets understanding as well is obviously blessed. Folks, so you are blessed. You and I are blessed if we are able to look for wisdom and understanding and able to find it. Okay. Goes on to say verse 14. For the gain from her, this is from wisdom and understanding, is better than the gain from silver. And her profit, wisdom and understanding, her profit is better than gold. And what this is telling us right here, because God is looking at the big picture. God is looking at you and I in terms of eternity. You know, we might think, well, it's actually better to have a whole lot of money here while we're on planet Earth. God is saying, yeah, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But in terms of, you know, having wisdom and understanding, this is a preparation for the eternity that I'm taking you into. Verse 15 says, she, this is wisdom and understanding, is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. So whatever it is that you might desire in life, in the big picture of things, it cannot compare to wisdom and understanding. Because it goes on, it's linked to it, verse 16. It says, long life is in her right hand, wisdom and understanding. And in her left hand is riches and honor. So when we apply God's principles, the riches are there as well, and the honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So living a life, applying God's principles, you know, with the favor and blessing of the Lord upon us, the financial blessing of the Lord upon us, and experiencing that peace that surpasses all understanding. Verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Wisdom and understanding. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Blessed by the Lord. We need to grab hold of this, folks. Wisdom, understanding. Seek for it. Verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped their dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then, right? So when it says then, that means that something's coming. Right? If we embrace wisdom and if we embrace understanding, then you will walk on your way securely. Security. On our walk with the Lord through life. And your foot will not stumble. Basically, the Lord is saying that when you trip or fall or looks like you're going to trip, he's there to pick you up. He says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Are we experiencing sweet sleep, folks? Because this is part of the favor of the Lord resting upon us. God gives us, and God wants us to experience all of this that he has for us. Amen? Resolution number 7 for 2026. Have no fear. How many of us know that fear is a spirit? And how many of us know that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have authority over a spirit of fear? When we rise up and we take authority over a spirit of fear, that thing has to go. And I'm saying to us, if any of us are experiencing fear, we need to rise up. Don't ask, you know, Jesus to chase away the fear when he's told us, no, we rise up and take authority over this thing. So have no fear, verses 25 and 26. It says, do not, there it is again, an instruction, be afraid of sudden terror. Or of the ruin of when of the wicked when it comes. It says when it comes, that means that you and I are going to be harassed from time to time. It doesn't mean that we get tripped up, but it's going to come, and we need to know how to deal with it. Because the next verse says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So when it comes and we are applying these principles, the Lord is there, folks. He is there. He will be our confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, if we're about to stumble, it is him that will look after us and get us back up on our feet again. So basically, it's the Lord that gets involved and will stop us from being caught in the snares of the evil one. Huh? The evil one will come. How many of you are aware of that? But when we apply his principles, we will not get caught in the snares. We're nearly done. Is this interesting? I hope so. Resolution number 8 for 2026. Do not withhold good from those that deserve it. Now, it says in verse 27, 28, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. So in other words, if you're in a position that you should be giving something to somebody and it, you should be doing it, and the, you know what the Lord is saying is, don't withhold it. Just do it. It's a principle. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go, hey, your neighbor comes to you. Now there's something maybe that, you know, you can help him with. Where you say, go, come back tomorrow. Come tomorrow, hey, come tomorrow and I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Huh? So folks, we need to be those who are a blessing to others because we are blessed. Do you know that the Lord blesses us to be a blessing? Okay, so don't hold back what it's saying if you have the power to actually go out and do it. Resolution number 9. Do not plot harm against your neighbor. Now, it's in amongst all of this. Some people, even as believers, yeah, how many of you, is it just me? Sometimes the flesh just rises up. Okay? Is that right? I don't know if some of you know, I was held up in my driveway the other day. You know? Sometimes the flesh just rises up. And you want to do what you want to do. But sometimes you need wisdom to not do what you feel like doing. Is that true? So we just need to make sure, folks, you know, that we do not. Sometimes, you know, you might have such a, and it talks about a neighbor. Maybe it's your physical neighbor, such an irritating neighbor that you just want to, I don't know. You know those guys, all right? You just, yeah, it starts to wind you up on the inside and so on. It says, do not plant evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. So in other words, if there are issues, we need to conduct ourselves in a way that is really pleasing to the Lord. Is that right? Don't allow the flesh just to rise up when we go off the handle. Okay. So make every effort to get on with people. This is part of it. Who knows what the great commandment is? We are a knowledgeable church, aren't we? You're right. Okay. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and your soul. Okay. But then it says part of it is love your neighbor as yourself. And this sometimes is difficult. And sometimes we try to make excuses when that guy cuts you off on the road. Well, you say, well, he's not my neighbor. Right? So therefore, no. Let's just loosen up a little bit when it comes to this. Finally, resolution number 10 for 2026. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. Now it says in verse 31, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. A devious person is an abomination to the Lord. But the upright are in his confidence. So folks, don't look up to people. Sometimes we know, we look at people and we say, oh man, look at that dude. That big house, and he's just done 10 million rands renovations on it. And it was such a pity that he had to park his two Lamborghinis out in the road. Okay? There's nothing wrong with having a lot of finances and so on, folks. It's all about the heart. Lorato was sharing it all, you know, about that this morning. It's about our heart attitude. But if you know that guy has obtained all of that by wicked ways, devious methods, okay, let's not look at that person and kind of hold them in high esteem. Is that right? Okay, don't look up to people, you know, like that, especially if it is suspect on how they've actually obtained whatever it is that they've obtained. And I'm saying that especially in the times that we are living in right now. I mean, you know, when you listen to what's happening in this commission at the moment, and, you know, the people that you're supposed to be, put your trust in terms of the police, huh, are part of the problem. Is that right? Isn't it terrible? So I'm just saying. All right. As I close, I just want to say verse 33 to verse 35. These are really simple statements of additional promises if we make sure that we keep the 10 that, you know, I've just already spoken about. Verse 33 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. I'll say it again. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. And sometimes we know that people are wicked, but it doesn't look like the Lord's curse is on their, is that right? Isn't it right? You know, you kind of look at it, but in actual fact, God is not mocked. God, His timing is not our timing. But it goes on to say, and He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. And the righteous, folks, when you and I got born again, according to the Scripture, you and I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we are righteous. And it says that, and He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Expect the Lord to bless you if you are righteous. And we are righteous. He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. He says, towards the scorners, and that word scorners, funny enough, even this morning, I just wanted to get other words for that. But it actually means towards people that are full of pride or people that are arrogant. Towards scorners, He is scornful, but to the humble, He gives favor. And again, remember what I said last week? We were talking about humility. The Bible is very, very clear. Don't ask God to humble you. Humble yourself. The word says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will exalt you. So, but it says, but to the humble, which should be all of us, walking in humility, like Daniel that we shared last week, it says He gives favor. Verse 35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. So folks, our challenge is really to make a decision to pay attention to these 10 things that I've shared with us here this morning. But not only to pay attention to them, that we need to be those that are not just hearers of the word, but that we are doers. Amen. So here's an opportunity for us to, with these 10, to start 2026 and start to apply these principles in our own lives. And yes, we're going to stumble at times, you know, trying to get it right, and we might not get it all, you know, together. But let's at least start and make a decision. Because without making a decision, I can assure you, it's not going to happen. The path of least resistance is that we don't do it. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.